Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 4 of the Under the Tracks podcast. I'm Ethan.
I'm Tyler.
And we have our sound guy, Luca, here.
I'm here, too.
And let's get right into it. So I think we should address the elephant in the room. The New York Mets are not in the playoffs. We have officially fallen apart. We are time traveling back to the year 2007 and the Mets collapsing and not making the playoffs again.
It was bound to happen. We talked about it last week. It was bound to happen there, big man.
Yeah, no high hopes here. We weren't getting past the Dodgers anyway. I think a lot of our guys need to look inward and kind of really figure out what's going on from a player standpoint and from a front office standpoint and just how we have to get our pitching together and all that, but we're not here to talk about that today.
No, but I think, the guy's got to look down deep, and your $800 million man has to step up and be a little
more hit more home runs when there's people on base.
Yeah, I think he's got to be a little more vocal there, too. He's got to just, he says he wants to win more, isn't that? He said that going to the Queens was going to win more. It doesn't look like that, but.
The problem was the pitching staff. I don't think we really had anything established going into this season. It was Sean Manaea was our ace, which as good of a pitcher he is, not in the back half of the season, but I don't think he's an ace anywhere. I think he's a two or a three.
Yeah.
He's someone who's, going to come in day two and, give some teams hell, but definitely not someone that, you should be calling an ace going into your season. So. I think that's part of the problem. And then obviously the bullpen after the deadline and all of our acquisitions with that was absolutely abysmal. So
yeah, the one bright side was the young guys at least coming up showing what they can do.
And that's the only thing I'm excited for.
Exactly. But now there's problems with, everyone opting out,
leaving, going into free agency.
Yeah.
Pete Alonso confirming he's opting out. Edwin Diaz talking about he might be opting out.
He basically confirmed there too. I don't see him not opting out. He might as well see what's out there. Maybe Queens isn't for him.
I don't know, man. The power of friendship will take you a lot of places.
Yeah.
I don't know about the promised land.
Yeah.
I don't know about the promised land, but it'll take you a lot of places.
Keep telling that to Pete Alonso. Obviously, he's not getting.
They're having fun. That's all that counts.
Scott Boras has got him by,
the cojones.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, they're good luck paying that, man. But yeah, I think that's all we got to say about the Mets right now.
I think we should move on. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think there's nothing more we got to say about them. I think we're gonna hit on the playoffs, all this, our predictions, all that stuff, and then later on in this episode in detail, me and all of us obviously we're gonna talk about the Yankees, Red Sox, but me and Luca are really gonna go dive deep into that and give you all the stats, all of our opinions, and what we think is gonna happen there. So yeah. Let's have some fun with this one and let's get going with the playoff predictions. What are you thinking there?
I'll try to have fun. I'll have fun as much as I can.
Yeah, hey, why not?
All right, want to get into the first matchup?
Yeah, let's see it.
First matchup, we have the Detroit Tigers and the Cleveland Guardians. Who do you guys have?
I got the Tigers. I think Scooble game one, that sets the tone, and I think that they, the Guardians' Cinderella run ends there, and that's all I got there.
Yeah, I don't like the Cinderella run continuing. I just don't think that it's going to last, especially the fact that it's back at Progressive. The Tigers have lost there this last week. There's no way they let it happen again.
What do you got, E?
Yeah, I'm going to go the other way from you guys. I'm going to go the Guardians take it here. I think, obviously Scooble is a force to be reckoned with, putting together his second Cy Young campaign. But I think momentum's a big factor here, and the way that the Tigers have been trending and the way that the Guardians have been trending, I think that, it'll definitely play a factor. I think it's anyone's series. I don't think that there's a clear winner, but if I had to say, I'd say the Cleveland Guardians.
No, that's fair. Yeah. Momentum's going to be a factor, but I just think game one's the biggest factor, and especially the wild card.
Oh, it sets the tone. Absolutely.
Exactly. So, you go in with Scooble, you're going to have the upper hand, and I think that's how it's going to go.
Fair enough. I can't argue with that one.
Exactly.
Matchup number two, the Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees.
Well, I don't have to say much here. I think we know my pick. I think we know Luca's pick.
My pick is that this is the Yankees podcast, not the Yankees and Mets podcast for the next month.
Yep, exactly. So we got our two votes. What are you thinking there?
Listen, as far as that goes, I'm just here to report how the Mets are doing in wherever they decide to vacation. You know, just how the team morale is and, you know, who's doing what. So, but yeah, I think it's going to be very competitive. Obviously pretty chippy between the players and the fans. But I'm gonna veer off from you guys again. And I'm gonna go to the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, you just had to. You just had to push our buttons. That's all it is.
All right, come on. There's got to be a little bit of a.
It's gonna be a dogfight.
There's got to be a little bit of a difference here.
It's the Yankees, Red Sox, obviously. But the way these two teams are, it's gonna be a good one. That's all I gotta say. It's gonna be a competitive one. Who takes game one might get the upper hand there.
Absolutely. On to our next matchup, going to the National League, the L.A. Dodgers and the Cincinnati Reds.
We don't have to say much there. It's the Dodgers.
I don't know if anyone remembers 2023 when there was a four-game sweep against the Dodgers. The World Series contender, Arizona Diamondbacks. I have the Cincinnati Reds.
Okay. All right. I like that.
Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yeah, there we go. Let's move on for that one. I think it's all right. Dodgers all the way for that one.
Our final matchup in the wild card round is the San Diego Padres and the Chicago Cubs. This is a good one.
This one is a real good one. I like this one a lot. But I got the Padres there. With their bullpen, the way that offense goes, if Tatis is Tatis in the playoffs, I honestly don't know who can beat them on that side of the NL. So, yeah.
Yeah, I honestly don't know how the Padres haven't made it to a World Series. I guess the superpowered Dodgers have just been existing. But I feel like all of their guys are just clutch playoff guys. You just talked about Tatis. I just feel like everyone in that team is built for the playoffs. I think they're going all the way to the World Series this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Cubs obviously having a very good year. But the Padres, I think, just shocked everyone with how close they got to the Dodgers. And, I mean, they gave the Dodgers hell. Division, yep, only finishing three games behind. So I think that says something, especially being in their division, and I'm going to go to the San Diego Padres.
Yep, I like that.
All right.
Now we're going to get into dive even deeper. I mean, it's time to talk about Yankees-Red Sox. It's time to have the fun for me and Luca.
Can I have fun too?
Of course. You know, we gotta let you have a little fun because, you know, the Mets are suffering. But
I'll take what I can get.
I think we gotta just talk about the pitching matchup for Game One because that's gonna set the tone for this whole series. I know we got the home field advantage, but it doesn't matter. It's Yankees Sox. It's every man for themselves. But Fried, Crochet, that's a tough one. It's a tough one. I mean, no Roman Anthony is obviously huge. That's going to help the Yankees at least, you know, have a little bit of upper hand on the offensive side. Saw something that, like, a whole run, they've been a whole run down since Roman Anthony got injured in, like, every game they've played. So that's obviously a big thing. Crochet, I mean, he could give Skubal a run for the Cy Young, so that's scaring me at that point. But, yeah, I don't. Game one is just a coin flip of who can scratch a couple runs across. I mean, the Yankees, I've seen, they're making so many damn lineup changes. It's crazy. Like, we were talking about it earlier, Rosario playing second base. Wells is catching because he can, hit a little better than Rice against Crochet. And then also, you know, obviously the run game is what they're really worried about. But, yeah, it's every man for themselves out there, and I think that's what Aaron Boone's going for with this lineup.
Yeah, it doesn't look good. I mean, if you look at the stats of the Yankees against Crochet in their past three games, the guy has thrown 12 strikeouts, 11 strikeouts, 7 strikeouts, and those two most recent are the 12 and 11. Now, the thing I'm looking at the most as a really, 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 really optimistic Yankees fan is the 4.5 ERA in that last start where we put up 3 runs on him. He did have 12 strikeouts, though, and I can't really please.
Yeah, that is the problem. I mean, it's the Yankees' problem was live or die by the long ball. So, I don't know. I mean, it's tough. Obviously, you know, being at home and sneaking a couple out of the short porch is going to have to happen. And hopefully our, you know, MVP Aaron Judge actually shows up in October, unlike last year, which was pretty brutal. And then our Lord and Savior Giancarlo Stanton is he'll be there. He'll be there. We know that for sure.
Guy's gotten hot at the right time. I was just going to say something about him. Big G always knows when to show up. Another thing I really like that I've seen from the Yankees is Aaron Boone has been switching our lineup around, which you talked about.
Yep.
I like that we've kind of realized that Crochet is the pitcher that he is.
Yes.
And that we kind of need to focus on, like, the small ball aspects, like having Wells behind the plate to limit those runs. I know Rice is the infinitely better bat. We all know that. Guy's had the most unlucky season in MLB history. Oh,
it's
nuts.
I mean, even the last week, come down to it, he had two home runs in the last game. I mean, it's no doubt he should be in the lineup, but I understand, like, they got to limit the runs on the other side. They're going to scratch across with hopefully Rosario is able to handle the lefty. Goldschmidt's going to handle the lefty. Bellinger's going to handle the lefties. Caballero's in the lineup to steal some bags and maybe scratch across some runs. So that's we're going to have to just, you know, scratch and claw how we can, and that's how it's going to have to be.
Mets legend Ahmed Rosario mentioned.
Oh, God, here we go again.
No, I think I think it's kind of the same thing as you talked about with the Tigers and Guardians, having Skubal there for game one and having Crochet there for game one. You know, I think it's a more even matchup with Fried on the mound, but
yeah.
I mean, if you get to Crochet and you win game one, I think that is a huge leg up on
no doubt. It's
on, you know, the Sox, but if you know, for game one, I think the Sox have it. Just, you know, Crochet being the pitcher he is and what he's done against the Yankees, you know, I think it's hard not to have the Red Sox be favored in that matchup.
No, it's obviously with Crochet on the mound, it always is going to lean towards the Red Sox. But I think the one thing is that Max Fried he's shown up. He's been the ace that the Yankees didn't think they needed. Obviously, when Cole went down with Tommy John, they were like, you know, oh crap, here we go. And Fried's balled out. I give him props there. And I think he's going to he's tough as nails. He's going to fight. He's been there before. He's been to a World Series with the Braves. He's won with the Braves. Like, he knows playoff baseball. So I think it's any man's game for game one. And whoever wins that one is going to have a huge upper hand on everything.
Yeah, to segue us into stuff, when Max Fried came to the Yankees, the only things he said, like a robot, at his press conference was, the Yankees are a team that competes.
Yes.
And he said he really likes the Yankees compete, and he loves to compete. Like, I didn't say, like, Garrett Cole, I loved that he cried at his press conference when he became a New York Yankee. But Max Fried said that he wants to compete and that the Yankees can give that to him. And I really like that, and this is an atmosphere that he's going to compete in. Not only that, I had a conversation with someone today. This is on a slightly different topic, but they were talking about how the Yankees have been beaten constantly this year by the Red Sox. The Sox have had our number. And as a Yankee fan, yes, the Red Sox have had our number through and through. But I think the reality is, and it's a little bit scary to Sox fans to think about this, is the Yankees are kind of due. And it's postseason and anything can kind of happen. Baseball is a weird sport. Like, I took the Reds earlier against the Dodgers. Anyone could beat anyone.
Yep.
And I just think it's scarier to have a team that's due rather than a team that's been beating you constantly throughout the season. And I think where the Yankees really take that, and I'm kind of moving us into games two and three, is you look at the tough matchup that we have game one, the two Cy Young caliber pitchers in Crochet and Fried, and you look at that, and then you go down the line, you go, oh, no more Giolito. And you guys have Bello going on Wednesday against Rodon, who's got a 3 ERA with plenty of strikeouts this year. Like, I think the Yankees down the long run look a little bit better and a little bit more comfortable than the Red Sox do, because I feel like this is a very pitching-heavy series that these two teams have ahead of them.
Kind of bouncing off what you were saying, Luca, I think that's kind of the beauty of baseball and how unpredictable it is compared to a lot of other sports. So it really is anyone's game. And like you said, it is, you know, a very pitching-heavy series. So, you know, I think it's going to be pretty low scoring. It just matters, you know, how Judge comes up in those situations, how Stanton does. And, you know, even on the Red Sox side, too, it just matters of, you know, who does what when.
Yeah, I think, like, you were talking about Judge. I don't see him getting walked much in the first game because, obviously, Crochet's got his number, big time.
But he dices like you'll see the next two games in New York. I bet you that he is intentionally walked like maybe twice, even both games. Like I don't care how bad he's been in the playoffs. Like that's not the guy that you want to get beat by. You want, I mean, you know, obviously I'm not trashing Bellinger or Stanton, but like those are the guys that you're going to be like, they beat us, they beat us. I'm not letting the guy that's hitting 330 with 50 bombs beat me, you know, just because we threw one pitch down the middle and that, you know, that happens. I also just want to put in that Max Fried coming back from, he had that rough patch in the between, in the middle of the year after the All-Star break with a 6.8 ERA. He turned his season around, finished with a 1.55 ERA in the final seven starts, and two of those were against Boston. If I'm going to believe, seeing that stat just made me believe even more. So that's all I got right there. I just think he's the right guy to go game one, and I can't wait to see him shove, and it's going to be a great game.
I agree with that. I think that game is going to be for both teams. They're both thinking the same thing. It's who can back up their starter better and who can get to the diabolical mess that these two bullpens have had. I just looked at the Red Sox stats. I haven't really been paying attention to their bullpen too much. Not good. Not good numbers I'm looking at. Yankees, as a Yankees fan and being a member of this podcast listening to Tyler talk, I don't need to say anything about the Yankees bullpen. Yep. They've spoken for themselves in the absolute worst way possible. Some people, Devin Williams, have turned themselves around in the last few weeks.
Yep.
But we continue to test Mark Leiter Jr. I hope he's listening. Mark Leiter Jr., tell them you can't pitch. Yeah. Tell them you're hurt. Yeah, something's going wrong.
Please.
Because they keep trying, and guess what happens? It keeps failing. I don't know what I'm going to do if he goes on the mound. We have reliable guys who have done well out of the bullpen this season in certain situations. He does not need to come out in certain situations. And I just think the Yankees need to understand that situationally. And I think the Red Sox do too. We as Yankees fans don't want to see Aroldis Chapman when we're down one run in the bottom of the ninth.
Nope. I think the biggest thing with these two teams is getting to the bullpen. Like we were saying, it's Boston's got nobody but Chapman. And then as of right now, the Yankees have nobody but Williams, and that's weird to say. But then we're going to play back into the bullpen if the Yankees were to at least, you know, not blow, God, one of their games that they blew during the regular season. We wouldn't be in talking about this. So that's just crazy to think about. But, yeah, it's all going to come down to who gets to the bullpen first.
Yeah, and, you know, kind of building off of that, I feel like every coach I've ever had has, you know, emphasized get to the bullpen, especially when you have, you know, their guy on the mound.
Yep.
So, you know, it is going to be who comes out of the game first and who can capitalize and who can kind of just chip away, even if it's long, eight-plus pitch at-bats, you know, just racking that pitch count up. So, you know, I think that it just comes down to the grittiness of both teams and, you know, who can kind of pull that off and, you know, like you said, who can get to the bullpen first because it's been a...
That's all it is.
It's been an adventure for those two bullpens. So, you know, it could go from a... From a 1-1 game, it hits the seventh inning, and all of a sudden it's
turns into 9-8 game. Into a shootout at that point. But
you know, it's playoff baseball. You never really know what's going to happen.
Yep.
But you know, I think that's kind of the goal for both teams. That they're going to tell their lineups. You know, chip away. Yeah. Get those quality at bats and get them out of the game quite literally any way you can.
Yeah. No, that's how game one is, and then. And we're going to hit on the next two, you know, games of the series. We got game two of Rodon versus Bayo. That's just a toss-up at this point. Rodon, I mean, he's had the lowest average for any qualified AL starter against, which is nuts, you know, thinking about it. He went 18-9 with a 3.09 ERA, and I don't know. It's crazy to watch him pitch because it's either strikeout, ground ball, or if a ball is hit in the air, though, it is over the fence, which that always scares me with him on the mound. But then one bright side with Bayo, his last start was god-awful. So hopefully he carries that into the playoffs because that would be very good for us to see in person. And I would love to see that going into the Bronx.
Yeah, Bayo's also not a strikeout pitcher. I'm looking at his numbers. I really haven't looked at him too much until right now. But not a strikeout pitcher, Rodon, with his nice big 200-plus strikeout season. I like looking at that, especially against a Red Sox lineup, which all they do is hit. They're not a home run team. Like, Yankees are, we talked about it, first in home runs, first in runs scored.
Yep.
The Yankees are over the fence or die. The Red Sox are not, and I like seeing that lack of like solid contact and 200 plus strikeouts from Carlos Rodon.
But you're saying that though, like I think that's what Boone's trying to like emulate though. That's with that game one, you know, lineup. I think he's not going all out for the home run or die. He's trying to get the guys that can get on base, steal bags. He's going to try to honestly turn the Yankees into the Red Sox and try to beat them at their own game somewhat against Crochet, and that's where it could get interesting throughout the whole time of this series.
Yeah, I completely agree. Another thing, I want to ask you this question, Tyler. Ethan, you can answer too, because I think it's definitely something that's kind of interesting. The Yankees have some new bullpen additions this wild card. Not new pickups, anything like that, but you have Will Warren and Luis Gil, because we're going with Schlittler, game three, I believe.
Yes.
So you have Gil and Warren. Where do you fill those guys in? Because in my mind, I think the way you do it, I'll give my answer before you guys do.
Yep.
Warren, maybe not used too much out of the pen. I'm not too comfortable seeing him out there. Gil, this might be a really weird take. I think you only throw him one inning max, maybe two. You keep him to like a really, really low pitch limit, but you have him in case your starter kind of blows up. You have him in case like Schlittler game three, like two runs in the first. I don't even care. Get him out of there.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yep. I think the only reason that those two are going to be there is going to be if their starter blows up. I don't see them pitching longer. I don't see them. They're going to be on the next roster if we are able to win this wild card series and get to the next series, because then that's when you need four starters, five starters. That's when you're going to need that. So right now I don't think that they're going to do much. They're probably just going to sit there. They're going to get ready for the next series, and that's really all they're going to do. Unless, you know, obviously, like we were saying, one of the starters blows up, that's when they're throwing in anybody that they can find out there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have much else to add. That's kind of what I was thinking. Like, unless, you know, Schlittler kind of blows up in that first inning, I don't really think you use them all that much. Like Lucas said, maybe one inning max, just, you know, for them to see the mound. But, I mean, I don't really see any reason to really utilize them that much unless you're in a dire situation. But, you know, I don't think that's really on the game plan for the Yankees to have them come out, you know, right away, you know, after anyone. So unless, you know, need be, I don't really see them, you know, any use for them.
No, I don't. They're just it's the if. That's where they're going to be there for. That's it. And then, like, we're going to keep hitting on the pitching. It's a big blow for the Red Sox, though, was Giolito going down. So their game three starter is just up in the air. Who knows who it's going to be? I mean, if I had to guess, it's the early kid, because he's been good, and lefties at Yankee Stadium always thrive better than righties. That's just known. I mean, look at Andy Pettit. That's why he was as good as he was, because he thrived at Yankee Stadium as a lefty. But I mean, we can't even think of game three, obviously, right now, but it's obviously looking good. If I like our chances if we get to that point with Schlittler on the mound.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to be a one-sided affair at all. You know, I think it does get to a game three. I don't think there's going to be any blowout games. I think it's going to be a dogfight through and through, and, you know, we will see a game three. So that's definitely something that the Red Sox are going to have to figure out, and, you know, because it's a pretty even matchup, I think. You know, like I said, it's going to be pretty even. So I think, you know, everyone kind of has to bank on a game three and, you know, really have their ducks in a row for, you know, what they're going to do.
Yeah, I think it's going to be up in the air of who they put as their game three starter. I'm looking at stuff they're talking about early. They're talking about the Kyle Harrison kid that they got from the Devers deal is also in the mix, I guess, per Cora. So, I mean, he's made three appearances with Boston, two starts, three ERA, and 12 innings. I mean, we'll see. It's up in the air, obviously. We can't say anything definite right now, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to shift gears a little bit. My mind goes all over the place. But let's talk about offenses. I mean, we've talked a lot about pitching this episode with other teams, with our teams. The offenses are really, really, really different for these two teams. We've talked about that. But who do we think is going to jump out and be the guy? Because the postseason is completely different. We talked about it. Giancarlo Stanton sits there and does absolutely nothing the entire regular season occasionally. And then in the postseason, he's the greatest player you've ever seen in your entire life.
Yep.
So who do we think is going to jump out from Yankees, Red Sox, anybody?
I think Yankees, the deciding factor with, obviously, it's Judge if he can perform in October. That's the number one answer for any Yankees fan you will ever ask right now.
Of course.
I think the second one is going to be Bellinger. If he can come through lefty, righty, doesn't matter. Like, he's the guy that's supposed to hit against both sides. He's supposed to be the one that's protecting Judge. It's kind of all on him and how he can perform in that three hole that he's going to be in for all three games. I don't know. That's really all. That's the only two guys that I think are just it's ride or die with them.
Yeah, my two picks, one from each side. I think for the Boston Red Sox, it's going to be Alex Bregman. You know, obviously being on all those Astros teams, I think, you know, he thrives in the playoffs.
Cheater. And,
you know, I think especially in a rivalry game like this, it's I think, you know, the spotlight's on him, he, you know, shows up. So I think, you know, he's going to step up for the Sox. And then for the Yankees, like you said, I think it's going to be Bellinger. Again, a guy who has playoff experience and, you know, thrives in that light. So, you know, I think those two guys are really going to, you know, be the guys who show up.
Yeah, no, I think that you were just saying with Bellinger, it's his experience is huge. But then we're going back to Bregman, I guess. I just saw something like he's sick right now, which is not good. So he's been sick. He's been away from the team for most of the past 2 days. It says he's traveled to New York separately. I guess he's at Yankee Stadium and should be ready to play game one, but who knows how that's going to affect him. So
yeah, I actually did not see that. So
yeah, I think that's something to think about. I mean, obviously this guy on Twitter makes a joke about Bregman flu game, and that would just be, you know, fitting for the Yankees to lose like that. But yeah, it will be a toss-up with Bregman right there.
All right, cool. I'm sticking with Bregman. Bregman flu game. You heard it here first.
All right. Let's not have that, all right?
No, I wouldn't like that. I'm going to be there Wednesday night. He will be booed. He will be booed Tuesday night as well.
Yep.
Every single night. Everyone knows the deal. I mean, even when George Springer shows up, that guy gets booed too. So wherever those guys go, it follows them.
I got the projected here from Jack Curry. I kind of want to get your opinion here, Luca. This is the lineup that he is projected for game one.
Okay.
So it's got Goldschmidt, Judge, Bellinger, Stanton, Rosario, Grisham, Volpe, Caballero, and Wells. What is your opinion on that?
I like it. I definitely think it's exactly what we talked about earlier, what they're going for the contact more. I really like Goldschmidt. That was one guy I was going to talk about postseason.
Yep.
I don't know how much postseason experience he has, if I'm being completely honest. That guy really doesn't have too much. I'd like to see what he's got. I mean, he proved to everyone this year in the regular season, he's still got it in the tank. Best lefty hitter, best righty that's hitting lefty pitching this season. And he's facing Crochet. He hasn't done terrible against Crochet. If you look at his numbers, he's got a couple hits. The strikeouts are there.
Yep.
But he did better than most Yankees did against Crochet this year. And I think that him in the leadoff spot, I think if we can somehow get him on base, get Judge comfortable, get the guys behind him comfortable, I think that's a big thing. I like that Boone.
I like the experience at the top of the lineup. I think that's the biggest thing for me that stands out is, you know, you get veteran, I mean, Judge, your captain, your veteran. Bellinger, who has been in the playoffs, you know, for his whole damn life because, you know, he's been with the Dodgers. And then you got Stan. That's your top four. I don't think you can go wrong there. I got Goldschmidt's career stats here for the postseason. Hitting .261 with 24 hits, 8 homers, 16 RBIs, and 13 runs scored in 23 hits. He hasn't played. The highest games that he played was 9 games in 2019 with St. Louis. So, you know, we'll see. He doesn't have many, you know, playoff experience, but they also are in smaller markets, which, who knows what that, you know, might be a factor with, you know, playoff baseball in the Bronx is a whole different animal. So I think that's also something to take in, you know, to consideration, but yeah.
Yeah, and I think if you go back to that projected lineup, having a Volpe at the bottom, you know, he's obviously picked it back up a little bit. And I think, you know, he could be a really vital part of this series because, you know, you got, what is it, say, Goldschmidt, Judge, Bellinger, Stanton, Rosario, Grisham, all guys who are very much capable of getting on base multiple times in a game. And then, you know, Volpe batting seventh. Yeah. So, you know, I think it matters how much he kind of steps up and, you know, kind of gives his guys in the top of the lineup support. And, you know, I think with him kind of in an uptrend right now, we could see that. We could see, you know, maybe a clutch hit or even if he leads off an inning, just some way to get on base and start something up. So I think he's someone that, you know, is worth watching out for.
Yeah, I think definitely you hit it on the nose there. His veteran, you know, esque, he's going to have to be the guy that everyone leans on to just, you know, not crumble or come through when you need him. So that's going to be his thing this, you know, I think this series, especially against Crochet game one, that's just, he's got to be the guy against the lefty. And yeah, I think Caballero is, he might, I don't really know what to say with him. He's going to be a difference maker, obviously, with the bag stolen. He's going to change the way the Yankees lineup is going to be, the way that they, you know, they're not going to rely on the long ball when he's on base and let him steal, do his thing, all that stuff. So yeah, I don't know. It's really so tough to say right now with it's Crochet on the mound. That's all it is. We're going to keep going back to that.
But listen, it being tough to say, that's a good thing. That just means we got good baseball ahead of us.
Exactly. I can't complain there from just, you know, just being a baseball fan. So yeah.
No, I'm really hoping for good games. The Yankees to win, but I would like good games. Blowouts would be nice, but watching baseball, watching teams battle it out. I mean, at least from the Bronx side, it feels like the rivalry has kind of come back a little bit this year.
Yeah.
I don't think in years past it's been as strong. Both teams have been kind of back and forth on let's be good, let's be not good, let's show up, let's not show up. And I think that this year it's definitely been reignited big time. I mean, wild card Yankees, Red Sox, doesn't get better than that.
No, it doesn't get better than that. And I think it's due. We're due. They've beat us the past 3 years that we've matched up with them. It's time to finally get one back. I think, you know, I don't know. It's the right place, too. It's the Bronx to win it in Yankee Stadium rather than, you know, lose it in Fenway like we've been doing. I think there's only one right way to do it.
I think another thing, I'm looking at it right now. We talked about the lineup change and having Reddy in the lineup. So Jazz isn't in the lineup.
Yep.
He is healthy. Thank God, about that for a second.
Got a little, you know, came back all negative. That's good.
I think it's really nice that we actually do have him on the bench. That might sound really weird, but you're starting Goldschmidt.
Yep.
Later in the game, you get past Crochet. You've got a pinch running option if Goldschmidt gets on base.
Yep.
And that's a really big thing because pinch run Jazz, then Ben Rice goes into the game. So the Yankees feel deeper. And I think we were going to get into this a little bit more. Why don't we start that now? Is this year's, the 2025 Yankees compared to the 2024 Yankees.
Yep.
I mean, Ty has the numbers in front of him. I don't. But this team feels a lot more complete than what we had in a World Series contender team last year.
Yeah, I mean, you had a guy, Soto, you know, right behind Judge. It's crazy to think about that a team could get better in an offensive standpoint the way it was. And they, Yanks hit, they had 815 runs scored last year, and they hit 248. This year, the Yankees have the first in MLB with 849 runs scored, and then they're 10th in MLB, but they're hitting 251, which, you know, you're not expecting much with the batting average going up, but, I mean, they're first in MLB with long balls. So that's how they, you know, win or lose by the home run. So just to see that their offense is going up from last year, it's just crazy to think about. I think that's... Yeah.
Just based off what you two were saying, you know, losing a guy like Soto, as much as, you know, there is a lot of love lost there, you know, it hurts. Yep. It does. And I think you two can admit that, you know, having a player of his caliber, you know, being lost in that lineup. But I think what you guys really did well was made yourself more well-rounded. You know, if you have Soto in the lineup, batting third, batting fourth, once you get through him, you have eight more guys to get through until you're back at him. So I think what you guys did really well was kind of well-rounded yourself with yep. Bellinger and Caballero and, you know, just even the little signings and even going to the pitching. You lose Cole, you get Freed, you yep. know, your guys are stepping up, you know, at least on the starting end of things. So I think that's one of the things that the Yankees did really well that the Mets didn't do really well. Obviously, yeah. we got Soto, but like I said, you know, once you get past him, you know, eight more guys till he's there. So I think that, you know, kind of going back to the Mets a little bit, that's one of the things that we have to do this offseason, especially with our pitching. We do need some help in the bottom of the lineup, but, you know, I think that, you know, kind of going back to what I was saying, that is something that the Yankees did really well, yeah. and I think that, you know, they can really, you know, make a run and, you know, possibly go at it again with probably a little bit more confidence on your side and on the player side.
Yeah, I think their plan B after Soto was honestly better. They're well-rounded with Cody Bellinger, getting Goldschmidt, just obviously Ben Rice, the way he emerged.
Those guys stepping up.
Yeah, huge. Trent Grisham out of nowhere. Obviously, he was, you know, the main part in that Soto deal now after what he's done this year. But
like Trent Grisham deal.
Yeah, exactly. That's all it is now. But like you were saying, just they're just so much more well-rounded, and I think that's what's going to hopefully help them this playoff. But again, we will see. We will see. I don't want to say it's all on one guy, but it's on if Aaron Judge can show up in October and not need Cody Bellinger to do everything, not need Stanton to do everything. Like, again, that's where it helped last year that you had Soto to pick up where Judge was lacking.
Yeah, and, you know, like you said, like, Judge really hasn't been himself in the playoffs, especially yep. last year, you know, with his mishaps, but having those guys to fall back on, I mean, you want your guy to perform all the time,
yeah.
You know, as much as that isn't going to happen. But, you know, having those guys to fall back on instead of that one guy to fall back on, and, you know, if he has a bad game, then it's, you know, it's done at that point. Because you got, you know, two of your best guys who aren't performing, then everyone else has to pick up the slack.
Yeah.
But now, you know, like they say, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. So.
Yep.
You know, I think that it's like going back to they're well rounded. You know, that lineup is well rounded, you know, probably a little bit stronger than last year. So, mm-hmm. you know, I think that kind of is a recipe for some really good things.
I think it's go time, and hopefully that they can just, you know, make do with what they got. Hopefully the bullpen can pull through, and, you know, hopefully Boone makes the right moves, you know, not putting in freaking Cortez into the crunch time when he should have put in Tim Hill, but that's beside the point, obviously. But yeah, it's all on Judge.
Good days ahead.
Exactly.
That's
hopefully
what we're focusing on.
Hopefully good days ahead. Hopefully they can take down Crochet, get game one, and that's just should write a good path for them.
All right. Well, I hope you guys are having fun, but I think we're about getting time to wrap it up. So the last thing that I think we will do is World Series predictions. Who do you think are the two teams that make it to the Fall Classic?
I mean, I got to be biased on the AL side. It's got to be the Yankees for me. And then we're going to go back to what we were talking about earlier. I think the NL, I think it's the Padres. I just, the way they go with their offense, the way Tatis plays in the playoffs, the way that bullpen's going to be, I think they're going to be scary when it comes down to, you know, big-time games in October. So those are my picks, Yankees-Padres, and then Yankees winning it all, obviously.
Listen, Tyler and I are two separate people, but those are, in my opinion, the two teams that I would like to see and I think will be in the World Series. Being a Yankees fan, I don't need to say any more, but, I mean, exactly what he said about the Padres. I said earlier, they just seem like a playoff team. Every single season, the way they play is just big moment after big moment after big moment. I mean, I feel like maybe it's the announcers. Those guys are great. But, like, the way those guys play, it is built for playoff energy year-round.
Yeah, and, you know, for me, looking at the NL side first, I really like, you know, the Padres, as they were saying, but I also really like the Brewers. But just based off, like Luca was saying, you know, how they look year in and year out, especially the past few years, I'm going to have to go with the Padres. As good as the Brewers are and have been all season, I think, you know, that experience comes into play. And, you know, the Padres kind of go past them with that. And then on the AL side, it's tough. You know, I think the Blue Jays are a solid team. I don't know if they're World Series solid. I'm not confident in picking them. I also really like the Mariners, who I'm rooting for now that the Mets are not in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to get a little funky, and I'm going to say it'll be a Mariners and Padres World Series.
All right, well, at least we can all agree on the NL side, then, all right, you know, in our opinions. But I just don't like the Mariners one because Kyle Riley is not the MVP. That's all it is. That's all I got to say about that one.
Yeah, he did not even tie the record, so that guy did not earn anything.
But we'll see. We'll see. Because I think the Mariners' big question is if Brian Wu is fully healthy, then I give them the edge up on everybody else in the starting pitching rotation because those guys down in Seattle know how to throw a baseball.
They know how to chuck, that's for sure.
Exactly. So I think that's their one bright side, but it's any man's game. And I think the game coming out of the Bronx, Yankees, Red Sox, I honestly wouldn't be surprised if that team then goes all the way to the World Series.
Yeah, and you know that kind of goes back to our well-rounded spiel.
Exactly, exactly. So, yeah, this one's been fun. I hope you had fun there, E, and we definitely had fun having Luca on this one.
Yeah, yep.
But, yeah, I mean, thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you next week.